This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
We are following several breaking news headlines this noon. We have new information about the investigation into the shooting deaths of five people at a home in South Carolina. Police say the gunman was former NFL player Philip Adams. Plus, authorities in Rocky Mount have identified the 60-year-old victim found shot dead near his truck in the driveway of a home. And the brother of a woman found dead in a Raleigh apartment is speaking publicly for the first time. Hear why he says the family believes there's much more to this story, only on WRAL. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Also breaking right now, President Biden is talking about what his administration plans to do to curb gun violence in America. He's speaking now, right now, outside the White House. Makaya Thurmond is listening to his plan. She will have more on this from the WRAL Live Center. If you want to listen to this, we will live stream this on WRAL.com. President Biden's address comes after several high-profile mass shootings. The most recent, a man shot five people in their home in South Carolina yesterday afternoon. We've now learned that man was an NFL football player.
Authorities say the gunman, Philip Adams, then killed himself. This all happened in Rock Hill, South Carolina, just over the North Carolina line south of Charlotte. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us now with what we've learned about the victims.
Jeff and Renee, we're learning more about the victims and the suspect. Sources are telling the Associated Press committed this mass shooting. Sources tell the AP former NFL pro Philip Adams is the suspected gunman. Also, another AP source close to the investigation says Adams shot and killed himself. And there's a picture of him. New York County Coroner's Office identified the victims as well as a well-known doctor, Robert Leslie. He was 70 years old. His wife, 69-year-old Barbara Leslie, their two grandchildren, 9-year-old Ada Leslie and 5-year-old Noah Leslie. A fifth victim, identified as 38-year-old James Lewis from Gaston County, was working at the home when he was shot and killed. Investigators located the body of suspected shooter around 1:30 this morning after a 9-hour manhunt. We also know that a sixth person was taken to the hospital with serious injuries from gunshot wounds. We will continue to follow this story and bring you any new developments on air and online at WRAL.com.
Ken, thanks. A man found shot several times outside of his truck in Edgecombe County has been identified now. Police found 60-year-old Johnny Cunningham just before 7 o'clock this morning on Old Brattleboro Road in Rocky Mount. WRL's Eastern North Carolina reporter Indira Esquiva is out there, and she shares what we know so far.
Edgecombe County detectives tell us that they received a call just before 7 this morning from someone who was passing by here on Old Brattleboro Road in Rocky Mount and saw something that concerned them. When police came out here, they found 60-year-old Johnny Cunningham slumped next to his truck, shot several times in the driveway of his home. Detectives believe he's been out here for less than 24 hours. They say normally this is a very quiet and rural area. They don't believe there's any public threat at this time.
Here we think this is an isolated incident between the victim and one other person. So I don't believe the public's in danger.
Now, deputies on scene here told me that they have several leads they're already following. I also saw them walking around here talking to neighbors, just trying to piece together what happened. We'll have a full report tonight on WRAL News. We're also looking into Johnny Cunningham as a person and what he did here in the community. Back to you.
Makaya Thurmond here in the WRAL Live Center. We just within the last 30 minutes got an update from Senator Tom Tillis on his recovery and surgery. You may remember he was diagnosed with cancer. He shared this with us just within the last month or so. And now he's posted this week he underwent surgery for his prostate cancer. I'm thankful to the doctors and nurses who have provided me with outstanding care at every step of the way. He says that he's beyond grateful to everyone and he looks forward to returning to the Senate very soon. Back to you. Thanks, Makaya. Our weather pattern is changing today. We are back to afternoon storms, but not everyone will see them. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at where storms will develop.
Exactly. So what we're looking at here is a high-resolution satellite, and you can see everything that's white. Those are the clouds way out ahead of our front that comes in later in the weekend. You can see some cloud cover. But what we're watching for today is this boundary, and you've probably heard us say this before. This is a really great way to explain it. You can see that the wind is coming from from this direction here and then the opposite direction here, and it's coming together. And when the areas of wind come together, it creates some lift in the atmosphere and it's creating the clouds there. So you can see that boundary that's formed. That's exactly where the thunderstorms are going to develop. More sunshine develops through the afternoon. We see all that lift and we're going to see those storms developing. Here's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you can see this band beginning to develop, especially from, say, Raleigh and Durham northward and eastward, and it will continue to travel to the east. So a lot of folks won't see the rain, but if you're in Rocky Mount, Wilson, South Hill, up toward Roanoke Rapids, you're the ones who are going to see the rain. Not yet, but probably by mid to late afternoon there in Rocky Mount, you'll begin to see it. Our temperatures will be warm. We're going to climb up into the low 80s this afternoon. And then again, we'll see those scattered thunderstorms in our northeastern counties starting around 3 or 4 and lasting until about 8 or 9 o'clock this evening. But that's just day one. We have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that we're tracking showers and storms. I'll show you a future cast for those days coming up.
The family of a woman found dead in her Raleigh apartment Sunday reacts now to the arrest of a suspect in the case. Police say Eric Hernandez Mendez murdered 20-year-old Christina Matos. Family members tell us the two were roommates. WRL's Amanda Lamb just spoke with the victim's brother in an exclusive interview you'll see only on WRL. And she joins us now from Clayton High School, where both the victim and suspect were classmates. Amanda.
That's right, Jeff. Matos and Hernandez Mendez graduated here from Clayton High School back in 2020. They also lived with another person, a female classmate from that year. Now, Matos was found dead in her apartment on Hillsborough Street Sunday night after her parents called Raleigh police when they couldn't reach her. Friends have held several vigils in her honor this week asking for justice. While the arrest of her roommate brings some relief to the family, they still want to know why it happened, and they do believe others could be involved.
There's no reason, no excuse to just such take someone's life away, someone as beautiful as her. She was young, she was beautiful, and she was strong. There was no need to take away someone's life like that, especially as close as a roommate, because that's how close that person was, someone trusted.
Now, the family tells me that Hernandez Mendez came to them right away when they called him over the weekend and said they couldn't find their daughter. He also attended a vigil Tuesday night. He's going to be in court at 2 o'clock. And again, the family feels strongly there are more questions than answers right now in this case. We did reach out to Raleigh police and they tell us that the investigation continues and they will take any leads. If anybody in the public has any information on this case, they would welcome it. Jeff.
Amanda Lamb live at Clayton High School for us this noon. Thank you, Amanda.
As of today, Wake County Schools has students every grade K through 12 in school for face-to-face classes. Nearly half of the total student enrollment chose to stay with remote learning. WRL's Nye Harden shows us the in-person arrival this morning at Broughton High in Raleigh.
For middle and high school students, this is the first time they'll be returning back to the classroom full time since the pandemic started back in March of 2020.
It's kind of like the first day of school again.
No more virtual classes for students returning today full time.
It might be the closest thing to normal you get.
The principal at Broughton High School calling the last year a wild ride.
It's been a wild ride since last March 2020 and the different changes and twists and turns that we've had. But ultimately, we prepared well along the way.
Like masks and signs for social distance, freshman Henry Fulbright has a message for his peers.
Bring some energy because everyone needs it because everyone's feeling a little pressure, but I think you just got to shake it off and go.
And this morning was kind of like, this is what school is supposed to feel like. This is how it is usually.
Nye Harden, WRL News, Raleigh.
Every day we are checking vaccine availability in our area. You can find that information on WRL.com and the WRL News app. Look for the Find a Vaccine banner on the homepage. We also send notifications straight to your phone when vaccine doses are available for walk-ins in your area.
Israelis stood in silence today as a two-minute siren wailed across the country in remembrance of the Holocaust's 6 million Jewish victims. Vehicles stopped along the streets and highways. Pedestrians stood in place in memory of those killed in the Nazi genocide. The annual memorial is one of the most somber days on the Israeli calendar. Fewer than 180,000 Holocaust survivors remain in Israel.
Next at noon, a road still closed in Fayetteville. We take you to the scene of a terrible tanker crash, and we'll let you know if there's any toxic threat.
Also, a Lamborghini, a 17-year-old, and a deadly crash. Who was killed and how the driver's family tried to hide from charges.
Plus, beware of fake vaccination cards. Concerns from North Carolina's Attorney General about potential health risks.
You're watching WRAL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
Now to breaking news we've been following all morning. Country Club Drive in Fayetteville is closed between Rose Hill Road and Murchison Road after a crash involving a gasoline tanker truck. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live with new information about the accident. Gilbert.
Hey, Renee, first we want to tell you we're okay, we're safe here because we talked to the battalion commander out here about 45 minutes ago. He says there's no danger right now. But I want to point out that vehicle right there, that Jeep, we're told, is the reason this thing all happened. This is Lakecrest Drive, and apparently it came out here off of Lakecrest Drive and into the path of this tanker. They still have the tanker over here getting ready to be pulled out of here at some point. So earlier today, since about 3 o'clock this morning, it has been just a mess out here. I'm going to show you some footage here after talking with the battalion commander. We had several fire departments responding. This accident happened about 3 o'clock this morning. Fayetteville hazmat teams on the scene out here. We're told in several homes off Lakecrest Drive had to be evacuated because of the dangers associated with gasoline fumes. Now, investigators say the driver of the truck was trapped inside the cab of his vehicle, had to be cut out. He wasn't pinned, just trapped in there. The fire chief told me that the ruptured tanker spilled about 3,500 gallons of gasoline onto the roadway, and some of that slipped into a nearby creek.
We put down foam blankets last night for the leakage to suppress vapors. That situation's gone at this time, so now it's just us and the cleanup crew making sure that the smell goes down, the vapors right now. We have no hazard now.
As you can see, the gray Jeep that the investigators say started out in front of the tanker, it ended up inside the ditch near the creek, but as you saw a second ago, pulled out there. Fayetteville police told me the driver of that vehicle was not found. They believe he jumped out of it and fled. Now, it was about an hour ago that the driver was taken to the, I was told that the driver of the tanker was okay, but you can see the hazmat crew right there still working. Michael, give some more pictures of that right there. They're still working to contain the gasoline that could be going into the creek and also into the sewer system here off of Country Club Drive. So again, we're going to keep posted on what's happening out here. Renee, at this point, we don't know how long Country Club Drive is going to be closed, and this is a major thoroughfare here in Fayetteville. This is Highway 401 that connects Raleigh to Rayford that way, and all the traffic is just being turned around. So it's a mess for anyone that's coming down here. You're going to have to look for an alternative route to get around this crash site.
Yeah, drivers, this is your heads up to avoid that area of 401 Country Club Drive in Fayetteville there. Gilbert Bays, thanks.
Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center where we have been monitoring President Joe Biden, who's been speaking and addressing gun violence and placing a number of restrictions in order to make an effort. He says one of those executive actions will restrict so-called ghost guns, which can be built using parts and instructions purchased online. He's also announcing that he's nominating gun control advocate David Chipman to lead the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. It hasn't had a permanent director since about 2015. Now, you can watch the rest of President Biden's remarks right now over on WREL.com. Back to you.
American missionary Richard Dashbach is considered a hero to many in East Timor, credited with saving lives during the country's violent struggle for independence. Now he's accused of sexually abusing young girls in his care. The trial was postponed last month due to a coronavirus lockdown, but is expected to resume in May. Dashbach founded the shelter that took in hundreds of children who were either orphaned or from desperate families. Some of the victims who have come forward have faced death threats for speaking out against Dashbach.
There's a lot of anger toward the Catholic Church. There's a lot of anger toward, obviously, him. And they're also upset because, they can't speak out because he's so revered in this area that some of their families, People have received death threats.
The Vatican's representative in East Timor told the AP Dashbach set up the shelter independent of the church. Federal investigators are looking into Florida Representative Matt Gaetz's travel to the Bahamas with women. Authorities specifically want to know whether those women were paid to travel for sex, which could violate federal law. The New York Times reported last week the Justice Department was investigating whether Gaetz had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old and paid her for her to travel with him, citing three people briefed about the matter. Gaetz, who has not been charged with any crime, has repeatedly denied wrongdoing.
Charges have been filed against a 17-year-old driver suspected of killing a woman in a crash. It happened in February in Los Angeles. Police say the 32-year-old woman was hit by a Lamborghini on her way to work. Her family spent more than a month trying to get charges filed against that teen, whose millionaire father bought him the Lamborghini for his birthday. The victim's mother says the teen's wealthy family used its connections to shield him from the law.
It brought me to tears because it's like we've been fighting for so long. And, you know, I don't understand as a mother when your child is killed, why you have to fight so hard to get, you know, charges filed or even enough attention.
The suspect was seriously injured in the crash, and his family says he can still barely walk after getting out of the ICU. The teen is due in juvenile court April 23rd.
Winemakers in some regions of France are fighting freezing temperatures with candles. Temperatures plunged as low as 23 degrees could hurt the shoots that are already well developed because of earlier mild weather. One winemaker said he had put between 300 and 600 large candles burning cans of paraffin across many of his 35 acres of vines. A severe cold spell in April of 2017 damaged vineyards so much annual French wine output was the lowest in history. Well, right now, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Still hanging on to the sunshine there. The storm clouds have not rolled in yet.
They have not yet. So we're waiting on that. Probably 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon is when we'll begin to see that. It's warming up quickly, though. 78 degrees. We took a live look here at downtown Raleigh, the Capitol Building. This is the view from the City of Raleigh Museum. We widen out, and we're going to head up to Lake Gaston, where it's beautiful right now. This time yesterday, there were some boats tied up as we take a look at the view from the Point Restaurant. It's a little breezy out there right now. And, of course, there are some thunderstorms that may pop up here later on this afternoon. But right now, everything is looking good. 70 degrees, looking awfully, awfully nice. That water is still cold, though, I know. We head over to Durham, also looking absolutely beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky, and 78 degrees. We take a look at what's happening. It's another warm day. Temperatures are going to be in the low 80s this afternoon. Yesterday, we were in the upper 80s, so a little bit cooler. We're looking at rain and thunderstorms this afternoon in our northeastern counties. And then more of that through Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. After the front moves through on Sunday, we're going to move back into a bit of a dry spell. We talked about this boundary a few minutes ago. We can see the air moving from the east and moving from the west and, of course, coming together as a boundary, and that becomes a stationary front. And it's along that boundary that we'll end up seeing the precipitation developing that's going to bring us the thunderstorms this afternoon. Now, I know we're seeing some of that that's edging toward the mountains, but for the most part, what's moving across the mountains is going to fizzle out. And what we're really watching is this band that will develop along that stationary front, and that's mainly going to be north and east of the triangle. We'll stop it here tomorrow at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the morning and just a few isolated showers. Our potential for rain tomorrow is actually fairly minimal. We're going with about a 30% chance. And then Saturday morning, we may start with a quick shower, and then in the afternoon, we'll have a better chance for some scattered thunderstorms. That may continue into Sunday. On Sunday morning, with the front moving through, there could be an isolated shower. And even behind that front into the afternoon, there's a slight chance of some storms. Now, we're not looking at severe weather around our area, at least not yet. For tomorrow, most of the energy is trapped down to the south. The low pressure system is moving to the north, but we still have a lot of energy that's based in the south. And so our best chance of any severe storms will be from Charlotte westward on down toward the Gulf of Mexico. Same thing again on Saturday. Most of that energy is trapped down near the Gulf, and that's where the best chance of some stronger thunderstorms will be right now. None of North Carolina is really in that threat for severe storms on Saturday. So temperatures will be in the low 80s the next couple of days. We're looking at fairly minimal chances for showers and storms both Thursday and Friday. That chance goes up to 50% on Saturday and back down to 30% on Sunday. So it's not a washout of a weekend, as you can see, by any means. After that, we're looking at some dry conditions. Now, if we could have a day where we would just have widespread rain for a few hours, it would help our pollen situation. That's not likely to happen, so we'll take a look at what the pollen forecast does look like in just a few minutes.
As we told you earlier, President Biden is announcing a new plan to crack down on gun violence. And we'll talk to a local gun owner about the changes and what it means for the business starting at 4 on WREL.
Plus, a glitch at the state unemployment office is frustrating some jobless workers, mistakenly explaining why they don't qualify for benefits. Our Travis Fain digs into that problem tonight at 5. And if you need a little help getting your garden to grow, maybe Lowe's can help. How a free program can help you spruce up your home this season.
And some call it the new layaway. Buy now, pay later services allow you to pay a little bit here and there. Why financial experts say shoppers should beware.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. Weather coverage you can count on.
There's help to get your garden looking great for spring and an offer of a free beer from One Brewer. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Best Buy is testing a new membership program called Best Buy Beta. It will cost $200 a year. You'll get unlimited tech support from the Geek Squad and exclusive prices on merchandise. The program also offers free shipping and free installation on some appliances. It's being tested in stores in Iowa, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania. Lowe's Spring Fest starts today. The promotion offers free project kits weekly to get your garden in shape for spring. The Garden to Go kits can be picked up curbside every Thursday in April, but you'll need to register in advance at Lowe's.com to get one. Lowe's says demand is strong and there are a limited number of kits available, so sign up early. Sam Adams is giving out beer money to encourage vaccination. The brewer will send you $7 for a beer if you post your vaccination sticker or bandage. The offer starts April 12th, and you'll need the Cash App to get the money. Remember to include hashtag shot for Sam and tag at Samuel Adams Beer on Instagram or Twitter. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber on the Money Desk in Florida.
We are getting a look at how classes will shape up at UNC in person this year for the fall. And beware of fake COVID-19 vaccination cards. We'll talk live with State Attorney General Josh Stein about his efforts to keep them out of circulation. We also have your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now. Well, we don't have them right now, so stay with us. We'll be right back here at noon.
This is WREL News, your number one source for local news.
And welcome back. We want to welcome in our viewers who are watching us on WREL after the special report wrapped up with President Biden announcing new gun reform measures. We are continuing on here with our WREL noon newscast. So right now, UNC leaders are meeting to discuss what the fall semester will look like. Makaya Thurman joins us now in the WREL Live Center. Makaya, the big question is, will classes happen in person?
And we seem to have an answer here. Renee, first, I want to show you the live look right now at that meeting underway. The chancellor is in the meeting along with a number of committee meetings. Chancellor Guskowitz says the plan is to have in-person classroom teaching in the fall and to, quote, really restore the residential campus environment that everyone is craving. He says there will likely be several safety measures in place, still a lot of planning to do and uncertainty, but he's cautiously optimistic. He's also been praising students and says the semester has gone well because so many students are choosing to get vaccinated. The input of the committee today and moving forward will be important in planning for the fall. And right now, summer school will be predominantly remote. Our WREL dorm reporter, Sarah Kruger, is in that meeting right now, listening in. She'll have a full report on all that happens coming up on WREL News at 5:30. Back to you.
Well, today's a big day in Wake and Durham County. Some middle and high school students are back in the classroom for the first time in more than a year. As WREL's Laura Levine explains, many students opted to stay in a virtual learning environment.
Thousands of middle and high schoolers were welcomed with health screenings at the entrance of school buildings, just like this at Southern High School. You can see where that blue sign is. That's where faculty and staff are welcoming students and making sure they get their temperature checks and doing those health screenings. Not all students are back, though. They're separated into cohorts. More than 11,000 students still chose virtual learning, and over 6,000 will be in person. Each cohort will be on a rotation involving a mixture of remote and in-person classes. Casey Watson with DPS says this allows them to ensure a safe return back to school buildings.
is actually making it a little bit easier since we have a higher percentage that have remained virtual. It's allowing us to have more than 6 feet social distancing inside, to have those social distancing precautions throughout the entire facility.
And Watson tells me that starting tomorrow, DPS will have a full rotational COVID-19 testing at 54 of its facilities. That will help them monitor the spread of the virus. Laurel Levine, WRL News, Durham.
There are vaccination appointments available today at UNC Health locations in Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, and Kinston. The shots given out will be either Pfizer or Moderna's vaccine. And remember, the Pfizer vaccine is the only one approved for teens age 16 and up.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WREL Live Center. Just about 15 minutes ago, we got the state's coronavirus numbers, and we are seeing some surprising news right now. Take a look at the newly reported cases. You can see 2,087. This is the first time we've been over 2,000 since last week. Not a sign of things going down. You'll also see our daily percent positive. We're sitting at about 5.1%, and we also know that there have been 12 new deaths. Currently, over 1,000 people hospitalized, about 1,004 people. That's just slightly below yesterday's 1,025, but still the second day in a row of over 1,000 people hospitalized. Back to you.
Thanks, Micaiah. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein is raising concerns about the public health risk of fake CDC vaccination cards in circulation. He joins us live via Zoom to discuss the action that he is taking along with the Tennessee Attorney General. Mr. Stein, thank you so much for joining us. You know, these cards are likely to play a big role in the months and perhaps years to come, and they're in big demand right now. Have any of these fake vaccine cards shown up in our state?
Well, they certainly have been made available to people in our state. They're being offered by people on the internet, on various social media websites, and they are inherently deceptive. And as you noted, they are damaging to the public health. It will require, it would drag out the length of this pandemic. We just heard those statistics. Things are better than they were months ago, but we are not out of the woods yet. And we all want to get beyond this. We want the pandemic to be in the rearview mirror. And the way, best way we can do that is when it's your turn, get your shot. You can actually get the vaccine card for free and the vaccine. You don't have to pay for a fake one.
Expand on that a little bit about the larger public health concern when you have people who have not been vaccinated using fake cards.
Well, if people buy a fake card and lie about getting the vaccine and they're out there, they are much more likely to get the virus and transmit it to others, which means more people will get sick and more people will die. What we want is for very few people to get sick. And if there is any transmission, for it not to result in hospitalizations or death. That's the promise of the vaccine. We want people to get the actual vaccine so they can get an actual CDC card instead of buying one off the internet from some criminal.
What action are you taking to prevent the spread of these fake cards?
Well, I put together a letter along with the Tennessee Attorney General and 47 of my colleagues from around the country, Republican and Democratic attorneys general alike. We wrote to the major internet social media platforms, Twitter, eBay, Shopify. This is where we have seen actual images of fake vaccine cards being sold, urging them to do a better job policing their website and sharing what information they have about those sales with us so we can enforce the law.
All right. And another reminder for folks, when you do get your shot and you get your vaccine card, don't post it on social media because that just makes it easy for thieves to take your personal information and then you're dealing with identity theft. Separate story there, but North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein, we appreciate you talking about the danger of these fake cards. Thanks.
Fake vaccine cards to fake masks. Now, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents say they are seeing a big increase in counterfeit protective masks, and agents are catching them. They've seized more than 34 million counterfeit masks since the start of the pandemic a year ago, and 20 million of those masks were seized this year in 2021. Two notable catches recently, more than 108,000 fake N95 masks grabbed in Cincinnati in February. More than 65,000 fake respirators were found at Chicago O'Hare International Airport last month. New this morning, a federal official issued a warning last June of problems at the Baltimore plant where eventually 15 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine were contaminated and had to be thrown out. The New York Times reports the official complained of untrained staff and quality control problems at the Emergent BioSolutions facility just days after it was awarded $628 million in federal vaccine contracts. Federal officials there have since ordered improvements at that plant. More than 500,000 people have signed up for Affordable Care Act coverage so far in an extra enrollment period. 528,000 people signed up between February 15th and March 31st. The period runs through August 15th. The Biden administration created the special enrollment period on top of the regular yearly period in the fall to help people during the pandemic.
A fire at a vacant school in Robeson County rekindled. We told you about the flames at R.B. Dean Elementary yesterday morning. Firefighters say at this point they think the second fire is more manageable. Investigators have not said what restarted the flames. The school is one of several that closed across the county in 2019. Target is pledging to support more Black-owned businesses, not just by adding more products on the shelves. How else it plans to boost Black-owned companies and entrepreneurs to advance racial equity.
And a sharp spike in coronavirus cases in France is delaying the French Open. How long players and fans will have to wait for one of the top tournaments in tennis.
Micaiah Thurman here in the WOREL Live Center. I've been following live right now the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, which is underway right now. As we've been listening in, we've officially hit the milestone where 30 witnesses have testified. And today's focus has been on medical experts. We've heard from a leading pulmonologist and the prosecution laying blame on Chauvin's use of force against George Floyd. The defense, though, arguing that Floyd's health and drug use were responsible. This is something we're going to continue to listen in on as the experts are testifying. We'll have the latest on WREL.com and WREL News at 4.
Experts are sounding the alarm about new emerging services called Buy Now, Pay Later. That's when a third party gives you a loan as you check out to cover the cost of the purchase. Before you use the service, one financial website suggests that you check to see if you can be hit with late fees and interest. Look at the time frame for how long you'll have to make payments. Sometimes breaking up the cost can make the purchase appear to be cheaper, but you could spend more in the long run. The Black Farmers Market is returning for its second season starting this Sunday in Durham. Markets will be held every second Sunday in Durham on Franklin Street starting at 1:30 to 4 p.m. and then every fourth Sunday on Rock Quarry Road in Raleigh at the same time. The Black Farmers Market's goals is to inspire a self-sufficient community that supports and protects Black farmers and entrepreneurs.
Target says it'll spend more than $2 billion with Black-owned businesses by 2025. Target says it will spend that money by adding new brands to its shelves, hiring Black-owned construction or advertising firms, and launching a new program called Fort Startups. In addition to spending more with Black-owned companies, Target is introducing new resources to help its Black-owned vendors grow and successfully scale their businesses in mass retail. Uber will spend $250 million on a one-time stimulus aimed at getting its drivers back on the road. The company plans to roll out incentive payments over the next few months to welcome back existing drivers and to attract new ones. This comes as the company anticipates an eventual rise in demand across its U.S. business.
KinderCare is offering a free day of childcare to families who are transitioning back to the office. Families of children aged 6 weeks to 12 years old can take advantage of this offering through the month of April. The offer is valid at the more than 1,500 KinderCare centers nationwide. The facilities are operating with enhanced health and safety protocols that were created in partnership with expert medical advisors. Carnival Cruise Line says bookings are rising at a record pace, up about 90% from fourth quarter levels. And its current bookings for 2022 are higher than those made in 2019 before the pandemic. The acceleration in bookings suggests that people are excited to travel by boat again.
If you travel by 2 feet to run the Boston Marathon, most runners do have to meet specific qualifying times. This year, before runners line up, they'll have to meet another requirement. Why organizers say it is necessary to keep everyone safe.
Plus, some of us will see storms today, but will it be enough to provide relief from the pollen? Elizabeth Gardner has your answer when we come back. The AstraZeneca vaccine is facing new setbacks in Europe. European drug regulators have confirmed a link between the COVID-19 shot and rare blood clots. Now, as Matt Bradley reports, UK authorities recommend that people under 30 should take other COVID vaccines.
European authorities and authorities in Britain have both said that there is a link between the AstraZeneca vaccine and blood clotting that in some very rare cases have caused hospitalization and even rarer have caused death.
Our conclusion is that these clotting disorders are very rare side effects of the vaccine.
In Britain, the authorities are recommending that the AstraZeneca vaccine only go to those patients over the age of 30. Now, this age regulation, this is really a matter more of the effect of the disease on people rather than on the effect of the vaccine. And that's because the effect of the disease is so much more severe for people over the age of 30 than it is under the age of 30. There's that cost-benefit analysis. And in other words, you are just so much more at risk of dying from the disease when you're over 30 than of dying from the vaccine. And remember, the risk of dying from that vaccine is still incredibly small.
Benefits of the COVID-19 vaccine AstraZeneca against COVID-19 and its associated risks, hospitalization and death, continues to outweigh the risks for the vast majority of people.
Still, this is causing some countries in the European Union where the vaccine rollout has already been badly botched to look other places for the vaccine. We have already been hearing that Germany is looking towards Russia for that Sputnik V vaccine that has been proven to be quite effective so far. So this medical issue could actually have a major impact on politics in Europe and the rest of the world. Matt Bradley, NBC News, London.
The Boston Marathon attracts runners, spectators, and volunteers from across this country and around the globe. After being canceled last year due to the pandemic, it'll be held this year in the fall. This year's runners will and the volunteers will have to show proof that they are COVID-free. Organizers plan to set up a program to offer COVID testing to runners, and negative tests will have to be done within a couple days of the event. The French Open is being postponed by 1 week due to the coronavirus pandemic. The French Tennis Federation made the announcement today. It was originally scheduled to start on May 17th and run through June 6th. France recently implemented new national restrictions amid a surge of coronavirus cases. Under the limited lockdown, curfews remain in place, domestic travel will be limited, and people are asked to work from home.
Starting today, Lowe's is giving away free garden-to-go project kits every week in the month of April. Customers can register for free kits on the company's website. The first is a garden-to-go kit, followed by a mystery garden piñata with mystery seed packets. Then Lowe's will give out 500,000 tree saplings in honor of Earth Day. And then on April 29th, the Butterfly Quest will help families create a butterfly family. Well, new at noon, just out, forecasters have put out what they think, what kind of hurricane season we're going to have. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner breaks it down for us. How bad is it going to be?
You know, it looks bad again, like last year, unfortunately. A similar sort of setup in the atmosphere, unfortunately. So this is the forecast from Colorado State University. I know that seems strange, you know, Colorado puts out a hurricane forecast, but they've been doing it for decades, and they do a decent job at it. So named systems, 17 is their forecast compared to 12, which is the average. 8 of those would be hurricanes, and 6.5 is the average. 4 of those would be major hurricanes, and a little over 2.5 is the average. Reasons for this: one, the Atlantic is a little warmer than normal, and tropical systems feed off of warm ocean temperatures. So the warmer that ocean temperature is, the more energy there is in the atmosphere for these storms to continue to hold together. Another thing that helps these storms hold together is if there are no strong winds in the upper part of the atmosphere. And the pattern also looks like we would have weak winds in the upper atmosphere. So that would allow the storms to stay together and not to be torn apart. So that's why we're looking at a fairly heavy looking forecast here for the tropics. We'll see how this goes. You know, it's just a forecast. And, you know, even if we have one hurricane in the season and it hits North Carolina, then, of course, we know what the trouble that can cause. So it's interesting to see. But we will make it through the hurricane season. We'll be tracking those storms for you when that happens. And, of course, it officially starts on June June the 1st. But the Hurricane Center has said they're going to start putting out tropical outlooks, which is sort of a lower level look at what's going on out there, a little bit earlier than they normally do during May, because we've had so many years with the systems developing in May. Take a look at the gardens. I see people wandering through, enjoying it. They are very brave out there in the pollen, but it looks gorgeous. A lot of the azaleas are in bloom right now, but I'll tell you what, the azaleas are in bloom at least through the end of April, so you have plenty of time to get out and check it out. Low weeds, low grass pollen right now, very high for trees, of course, and it's not just the yellow pine pollen, but we have oak trees and other trees that are putting out pollens that, create allergy reactions. Today, tomorrow, Saturday, still looking very high. There was some hope that when we had some rain in the forecast that it might wash some of that pollen out, but unfortunately, our rain is going to be very scattered, fairly minimal, so it's not going to do a very good job of washing it out of the atmosphere. Just a 30% chance today and tomorrow, and it bumps up to a 50% chance on Saturday. There is some severe weather with this, especially down toward the Gulf Coast. As the front is moving closer to the mountains, a lot of that severe energy is weakening a little bit. This is a look at this afternoon. Again, we have that potential for some scattered storms, mainly north and east of the Triangle area, South Hill, Rocky Mount, up toward Roanoke Rapids. Then we get a little bit of a break overnight. We're going to look at the potential for maybe a few isolated storms. First thing tomorrow morning, an isolated shower. And then again in the afternoon and evening, we'll move it on out to 5 or 6 o'clock. A few isolated showers pop up again for Friday. But again, with the isolated nature of this, it's looking like we're not going to wash all that pollen out. The rest of this afternoon, about a 30% chance. But again, mainly that's going to be north and east of the Triangle. We take a look at our temperatures. A good bit above normal for the next 5 days. Our normal is 70, and we'll be in the 70s and 80s. This afternoon, looking at low 80s. But after the thunderstorms move on through, we drop back down into the 60s. Once we get past Sunday, we're looking at dry conditions for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
We'll have another look at your top stories this hour after the break. Plus, it would probably make you smile just to run into former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal. Imagine how you would feel if he took care of your tab at the register, the gesture that made everyone smile.
He doesn't need the lottery, but hey, what if you had it? Winning Powerball numbers 27, 35, 39, 51, 66. Powerball was 16, the Power Play was 5.
A sticker could potentially detect COVID before you know you have it. How researchers are testing out a new device and how it could be especially helpful for members of the military.
Shaquille O'Neal surprised a stranger at a jewelry store by paying off his engagement ring. It was caught on camera at a store in Atlanta. The former NBA star said he was looking for some earrings when he heard the man asking how much he had left to pay off the ring. That's when O'Neal handed over his credit card and then shook the man's hand. Later, O'Neal said he was just trying to make people smile.
Our pet of the day has a lot of personality and can be both playful and cuddly. Everyone say hello to Sabrina here. This 11-month-old spayed female domestic long-haired cat was surrendered to the shelter because her owner had too many cats. Now she's looking for a new home where she can have all the attention she deserves. Sabrina is an outgoing, friendly cat who purrs a lot and loves people. Sabrina lived with other cats, but the SPCA is unsure how she is with dogs or children. Interested adopters can learn more at spcawake.org.
Wrapping up with a look at a few headlines that we are following for you today. In a little more than an hour, a man charged with killing one of his roommates in their apartment on Hillsborough Street will appear in court. Police say Eric Hernandez Mendez murdered 20-year-old Christina Matos. The family tells us the two attended high school together, along with another of their roommates. WRAL will be in court this afternoon. We'll have an update for you on our news at 4. A section of Country Club Drive in Fayetteville is still closed at this hour after a collision involving a gasoline tanker truck. The impacted area is between Rose Hill and Murchison Roads. Police are still looking for the driver of a Jeep who they say darted out in front of that tanker, triggering this chain of events. We have been on that scene all morning. We'll let you know when the road reopens. And you saw at the top of our newscast, President Joe Biden announcing executive actions on gun control today. We want to hear your voice on this topic. So we're asking, do you think the government should take action to reduce gun violence in the U.S.? You can go to WRL.com, your voice, to record your response. Your video could air in a later newscast.
We'll continue to follow those developing headlines and more on WRL News when we return at 4. We hope you have a great day, everybody.